Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Dr. Matt and Dr. Mike's A to Z of the human body. This is Matty's topic today.
Yes.
It's called amylase. Matt's making a lot of rustling noises on his microphone. I apologize, everybody. It's because he's got a beard that he likes to rub against the microphone. It makes me sick when I see him do that. Amylase.
I don't, listeners.
Okay.
Dear listeners.
Yeah, he's doing it right now, everybody. Amylase. Amylase. Have we? I feel like we've done this topic.
No.
All right. What is amylase?
You tell me.
All right. I know that amylase is an enzyme because it ends in A's.
That's correct.
And it was named after Amy.
Okay, amyl.
Well, Amy L was her middle name, Lauren. Amy, Lauren, and then it's an enzyme.
So. All right. This is going to interest you.
Okay.
Okay. So you're correct.
Wow. Amy, Lauren. It's
the,
named after.
No. The suffix, the A's part, you are correct. So enzyme. It is an enzyme.
Brilliant.
Amyl. A-M-Y-L.
A-M-Y-L, yeah.
Yes, amyl. That refers to starch.
Okay.
Okay, so it is a starch enzyme. However, I'm not finished yet. Amyl.
Unfortunately.
Comes a compound term, A, meaning not or absence of, and mile means mill, M-I-L, to mill. So it's
absence of milling.
Correct. So it's referring to the refinement of the flour.
But
or the barley.
But it says the absence of milling.
Yeah, so.
Does milling remove the flour?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it just means to crush or to grind. And so that means the starch component. So I'm guessing.
Oh, it's removing the starch from the flour.
Possibly. So the process of it.
Yeah.
So maybe just the term starch in those days was in reference to kind of how the seed or the grain was processed.
Did they inadvertently use an enzyme to do this?
No. It would have just been grinding and so forth.
So the A's is saying that this is an enzyme that removes starch. Is that what the amyl is referring to?
Amyl is just probably in reference to starch as the thing in the Greek period.
Oh, so it's not saying that it removes starch. No. It's just saying that amyl
separates
out the starch.
The grounding of the flour was done by a mill or done by hand. And so I guess it's just a rougher, more coarser grain, which would have been synonymous with the term starch.
You said I was going to be interested in that.
Well, I thought it was interesting.
I find it confusing because how did somebody go, oh, I've got a good name for this enzyme I've just discovered.
No, enzyme would have been completely not associated at that point. Amyl would have just been known as starch in those days without A's at all connected to it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So then it was called amyl, and then they're like, well, here's an A's, here's an enzyme, it breaks it down.
Correct.
So this is an enzyme that breaks down starch or complex carbohydrates.
Yes, that's right.
All right. What else?
That's the correct term of today. So when you hear the term amylase, it's referring to an enzyme that's pretty much breaking down polysaccharides.
All right.
And the most common one is starch.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there are three types of amylase. There's alpha amylase, beta amylase, and gamma.
Yep.
The most common is alpha, which is the type that we have as a human.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does the alpha, beta, gamma tell you more so about where it cuts in the...
That's a good question.
The complex sugar, or is it more so about its own structure?
That's a very good question. I didn't look into that detail.
Oh, you're pathetic.
I found out where,
no wonder people hate our podcast.
I looked at, all the organisms that involve those different types of ASAs.
Yeah.
So alpha being more so us and other mammals.
Yeah.
Whereas beta amylase is associated with more microorganisms like yeast and mold and bacteria.
All right.
And even plants for their seed production. But I think for today, we will stick to the alpha amylase. So these are generally found in two locations. So where do you think amylase, alpha amylase, are secreted from?
Well, I would say alpha amylase is found in the salivary glands.
Yeah, so salivary glands, but also...
Gams.
The salivary glands.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought there was something I didn't realise, but it's not, just you not being able to speak properly. Yep. And the pancreas?
And the pancreas. Yeah. So that would be two terms that could go on top of the alpha amylase, could be salivary amylase and pancreatic amylase.
Right.
Happy with that so far?
Yeah. Okay. I think just from a superficial search that... The alpha, beta, gamma, in addition to what it breaks down, is also where it breaks down.
Oh, so where it breaks the glycosidic bonds.
Yeah, because here it says that alpha amylase breaks down starch by hydrolyzing, so utilizing water, the alpha 1,4 glycosidic bonds between glucose units, and the gamma specifically hydrolyzes the alpha 1,4 glycosidic bonds at the non-reducing ends of starch and related carbohydrates. So I think it has to do with the length of the molecule and the type of molecule.
Okay. That wasn't really helpful at all, but let's keep going.
Okay.
So here's an interesting one for you, because the last time you didn't find it interesting at all.
No.
Well, chemically, when amylase was first discovered, it wasn't actually termed amylase at that point. It was termed talanin.
Talanin.
So how do you pronounce P-T-Y-A-L-I-N?
P-T-Y, so like pterodactyl, tear.
Talanin.
Talanin.
So this...
Talon. It's just talon.
Just talon.
Yeah.
Okay.
P-T-Y-A-L-I-N.
Talon. So that was its... First, when this enzyme was first kind of discovered, it was more used with that term, which is referring to that term kind of means to drool or to spit.
Is that why patui, you make the sound patui when you spit? Patui, because it's patalon.
I've never heard that before.
Patuin, because I can see that you've got written there the Greek word patuin means to spit.
Patuin.
Patuin. And we say patui.
Okay.
Don't we?
No, I've never heard that before.
When what's the term? Is it onomatopoeia? No. What's the term that we use when, like, for example, when we close a door and we say bang, right?
Yeah, I don't know that.
Or dogs go bark. It's the word for the sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe patui is exactly
that. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay. So that was its first use of the term, and then it got later changed to amylase. So in reference of how it works, so when you are eating food, it would be secreted by the salivary glands, let's say. The
glams again.
Not glands.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So I thought it was something else again. My bad.
So being secreted into the mouth with the bolus of food. And the role of the amylase here is to start to break down the starch within the food. So if you've had bread or a burger or something like that, it's going to start to break those glycosidic bonds down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, its action would probably continue to some degree in the stomach, even though the stomach is acidic, depending on how acidic the stomach is and how much churning is involved. But a lot of the amylase activity from the initial salivary processes would be continuing in that polysaccharide or the starch within the stomach.
Yeah.
But eventually, as the as an enzyme, it works most efficiently between 6 and 7 pH,
yep.
which is more alkalinic. Or, no, it's kind of the acidic. Well, 7's neutral.
Yeah, so I'd say more acidic. So
it's slightly more acidic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's where it functions best, did you say?
Yeah.
But saliva is usually more alkaline.
You'd think so.
I think. But it's probably just around neutral. Probably doesn't make a big difference.
So as it hits the stomach, by the time that the stomach is really churning and getting into it and the pH is dropping 3, I'd assume that a lot of the activity of the amylase is starting to drop away. And then by the time the stomach is emptying into the first part of the small intestine, the duodenum, then you're going to start to encounter the next amylase.
Okay, wait. Question.
Yeah.
We eat starch, which is plant carbohydrates,
yeah.
right? There is also carbohydrates in meat, but very
glycogen.
Glycogen, right? But very little. When we use amylase, we said earlier, or at least I did, that it breaks the alpha-1-4 glycosidic bonds.
Mm.
But there's other carbohydrates out there, like lettuce, grass.
Oh, cellulose.
Cellulose, yeah. right?
Mm.
So we eat starch and can break the alpha-1-4 glycosidic bonds to free the individual glucose molecules or monosaccharides, right, to use for energy and absorb and use for energy. But why don't we eat more carbohydrates like cows, for example?
Yeah, that's a good question.
They're big monsters and they only eat grass. Why don't we eat grass to become big?
Yeah. So the cellulose, which is actually the most abundant polysaccharide on the planet.
Yeah.
These animals that would be utilizing cellulose for their own energy, my understanding is they don't even have the enzyme for it, but they utilize big vats of microorganisms to do it.
Yeah.
So they would have bacteria, probably yeast. Maybe that's to do with the beta amylases, I'm not sure, that are breaking down those different branching arrangements of the polysaccharide.
That's exactly right, because it breaks the beta 1-4 glycosidic bonds.
Okay.
So cellulose, so each glucose molecule, right, if you have a look at glucose C6H12O6, they if it's starch, they are bound through alpha bonds, so they bind to each other. Each glucose molecule, for example, will bind to each other in the exact same way, called alpha-1-4. So the carbon 1 and the carbon 4 of each glucose molecule will bind to each other
yep.
in an alpha bond, right? So in one particular direction. But for cellulose, the 1 and the 4 bind in a beta direction, right?
Okay.
And the enzyme can't recognize and cut amylase, the alpha amylase that we possess. Like you said, cows, for example, don't have the beta amylase either, but they are ruminants. And they've got the bacteria that can produce the enzyme that can
yeah.
cut it, which means they can free the glucose or the monosaccharides and absorb and use for energy.
Yep.
But for us, because we can't free the individual monosaccharide,
it becomes fiber.
It just remains as fiber, so indigestible carbohydrates.
And that would
I just
be,
don't think a lot of people realize
and that. And that would be the basis of all the fiber that we would have, the insoluble fiber.
Yeah, so you don't get any energy
it's just
from
roughage.
That.
It's just roughage.
It's just roughage.
But even termites are the same. So termites. Termites that eat through wood,
yeah,
they are still utilizing the same process as cows, so they still have in their
bacteria.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
to break down the wood.
God, bacteria are pretty small, aren't they?
Yeah.
to be in the gut or the equivalent of a termite.
Yeah.
All right, so you were up to the fact
they had pretty efficient ones, wouldn't they? Because they could eat a house down.
Bzzz, like especially if you watch the Warner Brothers cartoons. They'd go through a whole house in about 3 seconds. So you said that you've got the salivary amylase and then it goes to the stomach, probably mostly inactivated by that point. But then once you get to the first part of the small intestines, the pancreas releases its alpha amylase.
Yeah.
And then helps to finalize the breakdown.
Yeah, it'll be finishing off. But it's important to note here that what it's actually doing is it's not breaking it into glucose.
Mm.
It's pretty much breaking it into maltose, which is just a glucose. So it's
a disaccharide.
And then within the brush border of your small intestine.
So these are the cells that line your small intestine.
They produce another enzyme. In this case, it would be maltase to break the glucose-glucose bond into two separate glucose, so now a monosaccharide that can be absorbed.
Great. So you're saying that amylase is just the very first step of chopping the complex carbohydrate up.
That's right.
So they're molecular scissors, but they're just chopping it up into still not monosaccharides, that's what we absorb, but probably more disaccharides, maybe a couple of polysaccharides that then need further processing for us to be able to absorb the monosaccharide.
That's right.
All right.
Now, finally, just a clinical application or a clinical point here is that you can actually utilize amylase blood levels.
Yeah.
So you can take serum amylase levels, and that can be indicative of injury or inflammation to those two body regions. So the salivary gland, which would be less common.
Mm.
You'd probably have to get punched in the mouth.
Okay.
Or
I mean, we probably should do the experiment.
Or maybe a stone within the salivary duct.
Oh, yeah.
There's a term for that. Lithus. Anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever the salivary prefix is.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then you can have just certain...
Probably salivary lithiasis.
I think it's something like that, but I think it's S-I-A something for salivary.
Okay.
But when we go to the pancreas, any degree of pancreatitis, more effectively acute pancreatitis. So if an individual presents with pancreatitis symptoms like, you know, epigastric pain, just discomfort, things like that, and you were to take their blood and they had high levels of serum amylase, so that would be hyperamylasemia.
Yeah.
That would be indicative of acute pancreatitis.
And it's because the pancreas is damaged and it's just spilling out amylase into the bloodstream.
Into the bloodstream, that's right.
Because amylase, it should be in the ducts, in the tubes.
Correct.
That just go from the pancreas through the pancreatic duct into the small intestines.
That's right. And it shouldn't be absorbed into blood. But,
yes.
But my guess would be that the pancreas, during its inflammatory state, is spilling this protein into the blood, which is then taken up and you're getting high amylase levels. So that would be part of the workup for the possibility of pancreatitis would be serum amylase levels.
Very nice. And Matt, is that amylase?
That is amylase, and that's why cows have full stomachs.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.